Welcome to an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma give their opinions on the latest happenings surrounding Yankees baseball, as well as dive into the hottest topics in the sports world. And now, here are your hosts, Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Don't forget, everyone, if you like what you hear, you could scoot on over to iTunes and subscribe to the Off the Wall podcast with myself, Chris Sheeran, and Joe Auriemma. Joining us this week, MLBTradeRumors.com's Mark Polishuk. Mark, thank you very much for joining us this week. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Lots going on. We'll start with the 800-pound elephant in the room, and that would be Albert Pujols. My opinion, Mark, here, and you can give me yours on what the Angels have done. They also brought on board C.J. Wilson recently as well. So, I saw what the Yankees did with Alex Rodriguez. Before that, it was the Rangers with Alex Rodriguez, giving him, you know, the $250 million contract over 10 years. The guy is 32 years old. I understand he's, you know, upper echelon, top five in the league, if not the best at what he does. But how do you justify giving a guy that's going to be 42 by the time this deal's over with a no-trade clause in it, you know, $25 million? And we see Alex Rodriguez's, you know, his production is, you know, starting to wane off, and Alex is going to be 36 this year. So how do you justify that?
Well, it's a pretty stunning contract. It's a real win for Pujols and his agents that they were actually able to find an A-Rod contract, given how New York and Boston weren't in the bidding for him. As you said, it's one of those deals where a few years down the line, the Angels are going to be looking at it and maybe kind of thinking, oh, geez, we're really on the hook now. But, if you can get five more years out of Pujols, say, at his current superstar status, and especially if you win a World Series or two in that time, I think the Angels would take that. And at the same time, I think a signing like this, if it wasn't already clear already, it sort of it reestablishes the Angels as a major free agents destination for any player in baseball, especially given how over the last couple of years especially, it's been Texas that's really been seen as sort of the rising giant in American League West.
You could call me crazy here if you want, Mark. It won't be the first time that someone's called me crazy, but I think the C.J. Wilson signing is actually bigger than the Pujols signing, because now you have four top-of-the-line pitchers. Wilson doesn't have to be the guy. He doesn't have to be the ace. You know, he's the three or maybe even the four with Irvin Santana being the three. What are your thoughts on their rotation?
Well, their rotation now, certainly. Aside from the Phillies, you can definitely – make a case that the Angels have the best rotation in baseball. It's interesting about C.J. Wilson. I think perhaps his playoff performance really kind of hurt his market perhaps a little bit. It seems that the teams who are going after him the hardest still never saw him sort of as more than a number two or even a number three. The Marlins certainly pushed hard for him, but, you know, had he signed with them, he would have still been at best number two behind Josh Johnson. So,
right.
So certainly a big signing as well. And, on a day like this when Pujols signs, you know, it's almost an afterthought, right? It's almost like, oh, yeah, and C.J. Wilson as well.
Well, now it's an afterthought. But, you know, C.J. Wilson sees the writing on the wall. He sees Pujols going there. He's also from Southern California, so he's going
Absolutely, home, yeah. In
a way. And look, he didn't get the $90 to $100 million that, you know, he thought he was going to pull, especially after the postseason he had. I don't know where he thinks he was going to come away with that kind of cash, but he still walks away. I believe the deal is 5 years, $77 million, somewhere in that arena. So I think he wins out, as well as the Angels. You know, they came out of nowhere. They were like a snake in the grass, like the Yankees were, when everyone thought Teixeira was going to the Red Sox. At the last minute, boom, Mark Teixeira is a Yankee. You know, you wake up this morning, and no one said boo about the Angels yesterday. I didn't, you know, everything I read, I didn't see anything with the Angels being involved in it. And all of a sudden, you wake up this morning, oh, Pujols is an Angel, by the way. How's that for a smack across the face? speaking of the Yankees, let me you know, it was very quiet for the Yankees down there at the meetings. Let me just throw this out at you. I, my partner Joe, you know, we shoot emails back and forth all the time. And one of the things he brought up in our emails in preparing for this was, you know, the fact that maybe Seattle was softening a bit on trading Felix Hernandez. Now, the Yankees won the rights to negotiate with Hiroyuki Nakajima, the shortstop from Japan. I believe he plays with the Cebu Lions. Is it possible the Yankees go out, get this guy Nakajima, and then flip him in a package? Because Nakajima wants to play for a West Coast team. You know, I'm just pulling every string here imaginable. But is there a possibility that maybe, just maybe, he's going to be flipped and maybe Felix Hernandez comes to the Yankees somehow?
Well, it was very interesting. It was an interesting bid on the Yankees' part for Nakajima because of when we were speculating of who might put in a bid for him, the Yankees weren't really on our radar at all, obviously, you know, with Jeter and Cano both so installed in the middle infield. A flip like that, boy, you know, Nakajima is pretty well regarded, but it would take, you know, like he would be the tip of the iceberg of what it would take to pry Felix Hernandez out of Seattle. I think, you know, and from everything we've heard, Seattle has been pretty adamant that they think that they can rebuild and contend in a couple years' time. They have a lot of great young pitchers on the way up. They have Dustin Ackley as a top second base prospect. And they've even been rumored, the Mariners have, to have had an interest in Prince Fielder. So, you know, if the AL West wasn't crazy enough, if Seattle did manage to bring Fielder to town, then suddenly they could accelerate their window for contention ahead by a year or two. So overall, I would say, you know, like it wouldn't totally shock me if the Yankees just put together a huge package of prospects and basically made Seattle an offer they couldn't refuse. But I would say, you know, 85% to 90% chance that that Hernandez is still in Seattle next year.
Hey, Mark, how are you? It's Joe Auriemma.
Hi there, Joe.
So, Mark, going back to Felix Hernandez, because I know Chris brought it up, you know, one of the things that, you know, I had heard was that Jack Z might be actually softening on Felix Hernandez just because he doesn't think that his farm system, and most people in Seattle don't think the farm system is going to be a major factor in Seattle for the next couple of years, especially when Felix Hernandez does hit the trade market in a couple of years' time. They don't know if they're going to be able to build a team around him. I know you had brought up Dustin Ackley and a couple of the pitching prospects, but if a package of a Montero, Betances, Banuelos, and a couple of other prospects come their way, I mean, Jack Z would have to think about it.
Oh, I'm sure he would think about it, and you know, like he would, you know, he wouldn't be doing his job if he didn't think about it. But I don't know. What Seattle has going for them right now is Felix Hernandez, and frankly, not a whole lot else in terms of players who are superstars right now at the major league level. And if you deal Hernandez, basically what you're saying to your fan base there is we don't expect to compete for the next 5 years or so. Another factor is in the case of Seattle and Texas in the case of Anaheim and Texas, the Mariners right now sort of run the risk of definitely becoming an afterthought in that division, sort of in the same way as Toronto and Baltimore and the American League East over the last few years. So, you know, like if you hang up, if you trade Hernandez, then all of a sudden you're basically saying to your fan base, well, you know, like rebuilding is 5 years down the road and, you know, like, and it doesn't have to be that way. I mean, the Mariners franchise has a lot of money. They still think that they can sign free agents. And, you know, I just don't think they're ready quite to wave that white flag yet.
Now, going back to Albert Pujols, you know, I know Chris had, you know, talked about it at the top of the show. With Albert Pujols now in Anaheim, You know, C.J. Wilson engulfed in a rotation now with Dan Haran, Jared Weaver, Urban Santana. I mean, really, the Angels look like, on paper, the team to beat now as a power shifts in the American League West. But with Pujols signing this 10-year deal, and he's supposedly going to be 32 years old. I mean, we, you know, nobody knows that officially. But, you know, a guy in Prince Fielder who's 27 years old puts up monster numbers and is truly entering the prime of his career. If Albert Pujols is getting a 10-year deal, which by the end of it he'll be 41 years old, what's going to be the market for Prince Fielder right now? Are teams like St. Louis going to get involved now that they've lost Albert Pujols? Are the Marlins still in it? The Cubs? I mean, can we expect Prince to get a contract like this?
Well, it's funny. I mean, currently on MLB Trade Rumors, we have a contest going of where you guess where free agents are going to sign. And all the writers and staff took part in it. And before the free agency period started, I actually had Fielder signing with Texas. Now, it seems that that has kind of backed off a little bit, or they want to spend their money elsewhere. But now, you know, it's possible the Rangers could see the slightest signing of Pujols to Anaheim and think, well, like, we have to keep up with the Joneses here a little bit and perhaps get back into Fielder bidding. It's interesting in seeing, you know, like, certainly it's been said all season long that who will get more money. I mean, obviously, you know, like, Fielder's a great player, but Pujols is an all-time great player, but Pujols also at least 5 years older, but Fielder has some more ongoing issues about his fitness. So, you know, like, certainly the happiest man who heard the news about Pujols' contract today was probably Scott Boras, because now this this certainly kicks up a lot more money for Fielder.
Yeah, it definitely does. Another point that Chris, you know, had made with Nakajima, I want to go back to him. Now that the Yankees have put the bid in, not officially, you know, they won the bid, but now they have, you know, the period now where, you know, they have the 30 days to sign him. If they do sign him, does that signal that maybe, you know, Eduardo Nunez might be on the trade block, that they could package him in a deal for J.R. Jurgens, Gio Gonzalez, teams that are really interested in Nunez, who has shown that he has a lot of upside, you know, when it comes to being a decent shortstop in this league that can really hit the ball?
Yeah, certainly. He would definitely be a trade piece who would get a lot of attention. And certainly, you know, like, he's a young guy. He can play a few different positions on the infield. I don't think he would be the first guy who teams want to make a trade with the Yankees ask about. You know, like, obviously, they'll ask for a Montero or a Betances or guys like that. But it's interesting now. I mentioned earlier about how the Yankees were sort of an unlikely candidate to win the bidding for Nakajima, because obviously, like, they don't need a second baseman, they don't need a shortstop. So if you're Nakajima, and now you have 30 days to work on an agreement here, is New York even a place where you want to play? Because if, you know, like, if he'd been taken by somebody else, he would have had a shot at a starting job.
Right.
Whereas in New York, either, you know, like, he's a backup at best, or he could be trade bait and go, you know, like, anywhere else in baseball.
Okay, I have a question about another Japanese pitcher, Yu Darvish. I mean, everybody is talking about you right now. He's been posted. You know, there are talks that Bobby Valentine and the Boston Red Sox might sneak in and win this bid. The Yankees are definitely a strong contender here. You know, the Yankees have not made much noise in this winter meetings, and this would be something that, you know, you're getting a guy who's very revered in Japan. There, you know, there's always the question of, you know, is he going to make the transition to the major leagues? But this is a guy who posts year in and year out an under 2 ERA in the Japanese league. Is this where the Yankees could make noise here, or who do you think is eventually going to win this bid on you?
Well, again, I made reference to my sort of a free agency picks. I had him going to Texas as well, actually.
Okay.
And I certainly think it's going to come down to Texas, the Yankees, and Toronto as well, who I think are all going to be bidding pretty hard for Darvish. And, you know, like, don't count out, you know, like, perhaps a team like a Seattle. You know, like, perhaps I'm just making an easy connection of them putting in a bid on a Japanese player, and they don't really need pitching all that much. But that's the beauty of this posting system, is that all these teams submit anonymous bids. We don't really know who's doing the bidding. All we know is who wins it. But, you know, like, Darvish's guy who's been on the radar screen of the Yankees for a long time. He's been on the radar screen for a lot of teams in baseball. And, you know, like, right now, like, after the Yankees re-signed Freddy Garcia, there was sort of an underlying thought that okay, their pitching search is sort of over. Well, I mean, I don't really think how it could be over. I mean, like, if your rotation is Sabathia, Hughes, Burnett, Garcia, and Nova, you know, that's exactly the same as last year. And that didn't get the Yankees very deep in the postseason.
Now, I do want to ask you, Mark, about, you know, speaking of Darvish, what can we expect? You know, what are the numbers? What are you hearing that, you know, the posting fee could be on a guy like you, Darvish, who, you know, as everybody's saying, has way more of an upside than Daisuke ever had?
I would say projections for Darvish have gone... Pretty much everyone is saying it'll take at least $100 million overall to get him. And that includes both posting fee, which should be, I would say, at least $40 to $45 million. I think that Daisuke got $51
million. Right, that's right, yes.
That's his posting fee, except I think, if I recall in that case, Boston really kind of overbid everybody by quite a bit on that. So it's possible you could have one team, you know, like, put in a real big outlier posting fee just to make sure that they lock him up. So, you know, like, and his eventual contract could be, it could be something close to what A.J. Burnett got. So 5 years, $15 million each. So when all is said and done, he could be worth possibly, you know, like, as much as his 125, 100, 150 million.
One more for me, and then we're going to head to break. I want to ask you real quick about Gio Gonzalez. There's been a lot of strong rumors that the Yankees, you know, the Braves, Toronto, a lot of teams are in on Gio Gonzalez, the talented lefty from the Oakland Athletics. It seems like Billy Bean is going to ask for a lot, as he should. He's a very talented young pitcher with the Oakland Athletics. What are you hearing the latest on Gio Gonzalez?
Well, certainly the Yankees have asked about him, and the Blue Jays, I guess, are reportedly sneaking around a bit. There was a report earlier this morning that the Blue Jays and A's were talking about Gonzalez maybe trying to work a third team into the deal, to work a three-team trade to get the prospects just right for what Oakland wants. The Diamondbacks have been kind of mentioned as well in connection with Gonzalez, and if you can believe it, the Phillies even were connected to him at one point. I guess they figure with Roy Oswalt's leaving, and, you know, like having only three superstar pitchers is not acceptable. But I'm not sure if the Phillies have the prospects to pull off a trade like that, but maybe that's why Toronto is getting involved, or who knows. But I certainly think if Gonzalez is still pitching in Oakland by opening day, it'll be a surprise. It seems that the A's are going through a total rebuild, and he's probably their best piece right now.
Mark, one more for me. A.J. Burnett was offered as a trade bait recently. George King of the New York Post had an exclusive article on this, and the Yankees were going to pick up $8 million of his salary if someone were to agree to take Burnett. Have you or anyone at MLBTradeRumors.com heard of anything positive out of this attempt by the Yankees?
We haven't heard anything more than that. I think it could be just a case of the Yankees establishing that, yes, Burnett is out there. We'd be willing to move him, and we'd be willing to eat some money. So the ball is pretty much in the court of every other team in baseball.
Right.
Or preferably a team perhaps who hasn't seen Burnett pitch in 3 years. Yeah, it's. I doubt they're going to find a trade partner for him, at least not now. Perhaps after this coming season, and the Yankees eat even more money off that deal.
Right.
He could be moved, but at this point, if you're New York, you just have to either be seeing AJ as either a sunk cost, or you know, like fingers crossed, a guy who can rebound and still contribute.
Iceberg straight ahead.
Yeah.
Mark Polishuk, thank you very much for joining us. That's Mark Polishuk from MLBTradeRumors.com. Joe and I will be back to wrap the Off the Wall podcast up right after this.
Want to see what everyone is talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning original video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features only at YesNetwork.com. Welcome back to Off the Wall. Once again, here are Chris Sheeran and Joe Auriemma.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Once again, if you like what you hear on the Off the Wall podcast, you can go over to iTunes and subscribe to the podcast. It'll automatically download to your iTunes account every week so you could listen to the dulcet tones of myself, Chris Sheeran, and Joe Auriemma
as we
discuss the latest in the world of sports. And the very latest is the winter meetings in Dallas wrapping up. Also big in Dallas this Sunday night will be a football game in the NFC East to determine for at least the following week who is in first place in the NFC East between the Giants and the Cowboys. Hard to believe that the Giants, you know, lose four in a row and still have a shot to be in first place, but that is the case. We'll get to football in just a second. We're going to stick with the baseball just to wrap it up really quick. Want to thank Mark Polishuk for jumping on with us from MLBTradeRumors.com to give us the very latest from those winter meetings. And, you know, like I told him at the outset, the 800-pound elephant gorilla, whatever you want to call it, in the room was Albert Pujols. He and, of course, C.J. Wilson both heading to the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. So a huge day for Southern California. And it doesn't have to do with the Dodgers, obviously, but it has to do with the Angels. And, Joe, this team now, you know, the Rangers, on paper, the Rangers could kiss their chance at an AL West division bye-bye, I think.
I definitely agree with that. They still have a great lineup.
They
though.
Do. They have the lineup, but if you don't have pitching, you're not going anywhere.
Right.
And the Angels have four now. As you mentioned, all four. They got Haran, they got Weaver, they got Santana, and now they got Wilson.
Yeah. That's pretty formidable.
Pretty formidable, and I think C.J. Wilson, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he's better not being the guy.
I think he would have been a disaster in New York. He would have been a disaster.
The Yankees were, you can't give that much money. I mean, you can't turn another guy into another A.J. Burnett. You can't have that happen.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. They're hiding him in the middle of that rotation.
As three or four, I mean, I think him and Santana are interchangeable at three and four. But I think at the back end of that rotation with not a lot of pressure on him, I think he thrives there. And Socha is a player's manager. I think that plays into it a lot.
He's also going to be comfortable because he's a California guy.
He's from California.
He grew up
as I
right
mentioned.
Near there.
Right.
And also, the other thing that
he's
comes
not
into play,
stupid.
He knows the AL West.
He knows the AL West, and Albert Pujols is in his lineup. So, I mean, and give us those numbers. What the Marlins, who were absolutely out of their minds with the money they were offering these guys.
Well, Albert Pujols, who eventually signed for 10 years at $254 million, mm-hmm. which is what they're saying right now. Bob Nightingale of USA Today says the Marlins offered him 10 years at $275 million, which he turned down. And that would have tied Alex Rodriguez for the largest guaranteed contract in baseball history. And Nightingale also says that with incentives and Florida's lack of state income tax, it could have been worth nearly $300 million. Also, C.J. Wilson, who did sign the 5-year, $77.5 million deal with the Angels. Bob Garber told Ken Rosenthal that Wilson could have easily gotten $100 million from the Marlins for 6 years.
Something else that Ken Rosenthal tweeted about the Marlins. A high-ranking Marlins official, this is word for word from Rosenthal's Twitter feed. High-ranking Marlins official says team is not and will not be on Prince. Prince can't drive Latin market like Pujols could have. I don't know about you, but I don't get that. If you're bringing in someone just for a community, air quotations, what are you doing?
I thought you were spending all this money.
They're winning baseball games.
First of all, is Mark Burley going to drive the Latin community? I'm sorry.
I don't understand that at all. And that's from a high-ranking Marlins official, according to Ken Rosenthal.
You were just about to give a so-called 32-year-old a 10-year contract. By the way, Albert is going to be 32, supposedly, in January.
And you made an excellent point.
Yes.
Bringing up the age of
Prince
fielder.
Is 27. He's entering his prime. And this guy's got his best years ahead of him. That's the guy you give the long-term contract to.
Let me throw this at you too, and you might think, like I told Mark, you know, I'm crazy, but Yankees, who are probably nowhere near Prince Fielder, are coming close to signing him to a free agent deal. But if they did, they could turn and flip to Teixeira in a deal to get Felix Hernandez.
Yeah, that's.
I know Justin Smoke is out there, but who do you want at first base, Justin Smoke or Mark Teixeira?
That's something that's definitely I've actually heard that. I've heard that one.
Well,
before.
I'm just throwing it out there.
I just don't know. I don't understand what the Marlins are doing. You were just about to invest $100 million plus $254 million in two other players, so $354 million in two more players, and now you're not going to be in on Prince Fielder.
That blows my mind. Joe, I saw that.
That blows my mind.
And it just made my jaw drop. You're not interested in a guy that could, you know, hit close to 300 and belt 40 home runs a year?
Every year.
Every year. And he's 5 years younger?
And by the way.
Maybe more?
And by the way, he was hitting 40 home runs in Milwaukee. I know he was indoors a lot of times.
Oh, that guy hits bombs.
Let me tell you, in a nice, dank, damp environment.
The guy hits bombs.
The guy, they would kill the ball in a new stadium.
And I'm telling you right now. He hits in the playoffs, and there's a short porch at Yankee Stadium. That's all I'm saying.
I know you're loving this right now. You're loving it.
That's all I'm saying.
Chris Sheeran, baseball talk. I love it. I love it, baby. Woo!
That's all I'm saying, Joe. but, you know, anything's possible. Don't count the Yankees out in any way, shape, or form in anything. I know, you know, Brian Cashman said... He said it more than once. He said it to me on this podcast. The Yankees are laying low. They did. You know, they picked up a couple of guys in the Rule 5 draft today.
Mm-hmm.
a lefty from the Royals, Caesar. I can't remember his last name off the top of my head.
We'll call him Hail. Hail Caesar.
Yeah, Hail Caesar. and they also got another career minor leaguer as well. Just... to get some battling going on. They did release Greg Golson off the 40.
Cesar Cabral. So the Royals took Cesar Cabral from the Red Sox, and they traded him to the Yankees for cash.
Cabral takes Golson's spot on the 40-man roster, so Golson is now
right. And then gone. The Yankees took Brad Myers from the Nationals, who, you know, he's 26 years old. He's a pitcher. You know, he's really never been up
in
the major leagues, but he was... 6-5 with Syracuse this year with a 3.48 ERA. Just, I guess, another extra arm.
They said something about the long relief because Noesi is looked at as a starter this year, either
an extra arm. Absolutely.
New York,
you know, his strikeout to walk. I mean, this year, 95 innings pitched in AAA Syracuse, which, by the way, Scranton sees Syracuse, so he's familiar with the Yankees organization. 74 strikeouts, 15 walks.
Now listen, if your sources, your information is true about Hernandez, I know a lot of people, including myself, like what the Yankees have on the farm, and I don't want to see them move those guys. But I've said from last spring training, the only way I'd move a Banuelos or a Betances or any one of these guys is if Felix Hernandez was coming back. He's a proven commodity.
It'd have to be like Kershaw, Felix, or Verlander. That's the only
right. Those are the only three. but if Hernandez comes back, I would make the move in a finger snap. The guy's proven he could. If he could win with the Mariners, all right. If he could be, what was he, 12-13? The year he won the Cy Young.
No. He had a winning record. He was
13-12.
Yeah.
He was 13-12 the year he won the Cy.
Might have been 14-12, but
and a lot of those, a lot of those wins, Joe, because I remember going back and looking at his wins and losses. They were a lot. There were a lot of one-run wins.
Yeah.
So he was in a lot of struggles to get those wins.
Over the last 3 years, 2009, 19-5 with a 2.49 ERA, 217 strikeouts, 71 walks, 238.2 innings pitched. 2010, 13-12, 2.27 ERA, 249 innings pitched, 232 strikeouts, 70 walks.
So a lot of those. A lot of those 12 losses, too, were probably by a run as well with that ERA the way it was.
Last year, his ERA was up. 3.47 ERA, 14-14, 222 strikeouts, 67 walks. Just maybe a product of the ballpark that he's in. I don't know what the deal is. Maybe, from what I was told is that I don't know if Jack Z would do something, the GM of the Mariners. I don't know if he would do something in this offseason. But I think Brian Cashman has it in the back of his head that, first of all, if the Mariners don't get Prince Fielder, because they are players in Prince Fielder, from what I heard, the Mariners are now starting to see that their minor league system, and especially now with the Angels and the Rangers being powerhouses in their division, system is not going to be ready. And in fact, they don't think that they have a great minor league system.
They've got to change their mindset.
They have to change their mindset that Felix Hernandez, he's under a three-year, he's got 3 years left on his contract. Are they really going to be good over the next 3 years in the division they're in now? Are they going to be able to build a team around Felix Hernandez? I don't think that's the case. I think they need to start rebuilding.
You got to make moves in order to build a team around
Absolutely.
Felix Hernandez.
And if you're going to get a Jesus Montero, a Manny Banuelos, and a Dylan Betances, and who the heck else knows what could be in that? I mean, Phil Hughes could be in that in that deal. If that's the case, which, by the way, if I'm the Yankees, I do in a split second. If that's the case, Chris, then I could see by trade deadline Felix Hernandez being a New York Yankee. If that's the case, if that's what Jack Z is starting to see and starting to think, and if he goes into the season and the Angels and the Rangers are dominating, and now he says, well, geez, we got Albert Pujols in our division for 10 years. We got this pitching staff that we got to deal with. We need to get younger quick.
Yeah.
Quick.
Yeah, and that's that's the way it's going to shake out. And if that does, you could have Pujols, you could take him. The biggest splash would be getting Hernandez in New York.
Agreed.
Absolutely.
Him and Sabathia at the top of that rotation.
That's hard to beat, especially in the playoffs,
Yeah. Yeah. All
right, let's talk a little football now.
Let's talk a foosball.
I've been sitting on this Giant loss since it happened on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of things I have to talk about. The first thing I have to say is I don't think Jeff Triplett should be able to officiate another NFL game as long as he lives. Here's why. A, he missed two huge plays. Two. The first one was the Jennings non-catch in the back of the end zone.
The not touchdown, by the way.
The other one was calling Ballard out. That was a touchdown. One knee equals 2 feet.
Now, here's what I'm going to say to that. Okay. I can see the Ballard more than the Jennings, and I'll tell you why. The Ballard call, if you looked at it on video and you looked at it, it did look like the knee possibly could have been out. And it's very tough to overturn a call like that. We see the picture.
I get that.
The picture shows he was in.
I get that.
The Jennings one, to me, is more egregious.
But every time he came out and put his microphone on, he seemed to be a little overenthusiastic for my taste. Now, listen, putting my fandom aside for a second, if I was watching that game without a dog in the fight, I'd be sitting there saying, wow, this guy's a little over the top for, giving the Giants the shaft on every call. Plus, I don't know, he probably didn't throw the flag, but the illegal contact on Jaquan Williams was the worst call I've ever seen made in the NFL since the Keith Hamilton defensive holding in the Super Bowl against the Ravens, which the Giants might not have won that game, but turn that game on a dime because it brought Armstead's interception return for touchdown back. And that was My dad likes to call it a CS call. You could figure out what CS means, and it's not Chris Sheeran, by the way.
I like that.
Awful. I mean, and you know, a lot of the Giants say, well, you can't blame the officiating. All right, maybe you can't at the end of the game. This is the other thing. All right, Giant fans, I hope you're listening. I really do. Because you got to take this equation with you, and I'm not breaking any ground with this. This is not breaking news. And Perry Fuel and Kevin Gilbride, I don't think Tom Coughlin has to go anywhere. I think these guys genuinely like Coughlin.
They played for him.
And they play for him.
Did you see them play for him?
And they want to win for him.
Absolutely.
But his coordinators have to go.
Gilbride stinks. He stinks.
I'm sorry, but I'm going to give you one for Gilbride, and I'll give you the game. I'll give you one for Gilbride and one for Fuel. Okay? Two solid examples to back up what I'm talking about. Giants have the ball first down at the 19-yard line of the Packers. Hand off to Bradshaw, 8 yards off the right side.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't stop Bradshaw or Jacobs all day. They were making the Packers defense look silly with the running game. Second and two now from the 11. Shotgun. And he runs a screen pass to DJ Ware. Bradshaw and Jacobs were on the sidelines. On a second and two.
Fair point.
From the 11.
It's a fair point.
Both guys who are going through the middle of that defense like a hot knife through butter aren't even in the game.
He finally did something right on the two-point conversion by handing the ball off.
I don't understand how Tom Coughlin, who's an offensive guy himself, doesn't say anything. How does he like not get into this guy's face and say, you call one more play like that, you're done. The Giants get into the red zone. Okay, and I didn't even mention on that play, empty backfield. Yeah, you think Eli is going to run the ball there? Come on. Everybody knows what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
If we're sitting on our couch at home and we can call out a screen before it happens, you think Clay Matthews doesn't know what's going on?
That's just one example of Gilbride.
I wanted to give a concrete example.
Right. That's
and that real. One... If you don't remember that...
Oh, no, I remember it.
All right, now Perry Fuel. And there were a ton of times, but I'm going to give you the one... not the Jennings touchdown. It was Donald Driver, one of Donald Driver's touchdowns. Packers, I believe it was second down from the 12 of the Giants.
Is this the one where he got both feet in?
And came back. Which was the proper call. I don't think he stepped on the end line.
Right.
I really don't.
Right.
That was a touchdown. He rushed three. Aaron Rodgers, I rewound it and I sat there and I counted. From the time the ball was snapped to the time he threw it, he had 10 seconds.
Aaron Rodgers.
And still wasn't under any duress.
Could have ordered a meal in that time. He could have left the field, gone to a McDonald's drive-thru, come back, and still had time to throw that touchdown.
How in the world... And I'm asking you, how in the world do you rush three guys? You could drop 10 guys into coverage. Rodgers will still find someone because he could sit back there all day.
My whole thing, and I totally agree with you, Chris, I understand that they have to mix the three-man and the four-man rush to give the Packers different looks throughout the game. I understand that. That was not the time to do it. They needed to rush four there because you know what? The whole game, Rodgers was getting rushed. He when you saw he got flustered when he had to rush
to throw the ball, he did not look like Aaron Rodgers.
It's totally, you know what? It looked like
it's night and day.
It looked like Tom Brady from the Super Bowl a couple years ago. It looked like Tom Brady.
Thank you.
And you know what? They rushed the four. They got pressure on him. I understand that they have to give him different looks and rush three at certain times, but Chris, that was not the time to do it. You gave Aaron Rodgers all day, and you know what? At the end of the day, it wasn't fair to those cornerbacks either, because those cornerbacks worked their behind off that whole game. And
Corey,
you know what?
Webster did his job.
There's
that
only
whole
so
play.
Much you can do with a Greg Jennings, just with a Donald Driver, with a JerMichael Finley, and they're going to get open.
Just like a quarterback has an internal clock in his head. All right, I have 5 seconds to throw this ball, okay? The D-backs have that same clock. You know, after 5-6 seconds...
Now it's like, oh my God, we're running. We're like chickens without a head on.
It's like the Keystone Cops. They're just running every direction. And if Rodgers can sit back there and, you know, like you said,
can,
order a meal or text on, you know, Twitter, oh, I'm about to hit Donald Driver in the corner of the end zone.
He can pick them apart. That's Send. What Aaron Rodgers does. You can't do that against elite quarterbacks. And it showed the week before against Drew Brees. First of all, nobody thought going into that game, did the Giants even have a shot in that game? But they didn't even get a rush on Drew Brees. No, they didn't sniff him. They got one hand on him the entire game.
Joe.
And he picked them apart.
Here's the awful truth for Giant fans, okay? I'm telling you right now. Yes, they still have a chance to win a division. Yes, they have a very good chance to win a division.
It's crazy.
But I'm telling you right now, Giant fans, you want it straight? Don't listen to anybody but this podcast. If those front four, or if Perry Fuel does not decide to put any pressure on Tony Romo this Sunday night, I'm telling you right now, shut the game off, because you're going to be disappointed at the end. The Dallas Cowboys, I know it's Tony Romo, I know it's December, I don't want to hear it. He will pick them apart just like Rodgers and Brees did. They got Laurent Robinson,
yeah.
They got Dez Bryant. They've got Austin Miles back.
Miles Austin, yeah.
Miles Austin. They got him back.
DeMarco Murray.
They got DeMarco. Listen.
Jason Witten.
If the front four.
And what the front four does,
if the front four doesn't get pressure, their linebackers and their defensive backs are not good enough.
The front four is
Williams,
masking.
And I'm sorry.
Masking a linebacking core that has been decimated since day one.
I'm telling you right now.
I agree.
They're asking Jaquan Williams to do too much. I get it. He's a rookie. Same thing with Jones as well. They're doing their best, but he can't cover me. He made one play against JerMichael Finley. One play, and he gets up and he celebrates like he just won the Super Bowl. Listen, Jaquan, you did your job. Go back to the huddle, because the rest of that game, your jock was on the field, and it was on fire. I'm so fed up with these guys making a play when they're down 20. Just like Jacob scored against the Saints. They're down 11, and he scores, and he has to. I can't stand it.
Join the club.
Can't stand it. But, Joe, if that front four doesn't get pressure, listen, Giant fans, your linebackers and your D-backs are not good enough. I'm not saying anything bad about Eli Manning or the offense, because that guy is doing a tremendous job this season. Think about this for a second. Down 35-27 to the undefeated Packers. Takes them right down the field, scores, gets the two-point conversion. The defense in two plays. Two plays allows the Packers to get into field goal range. And the one of them is Jaquan Williams going for an interception instead of playing the tackle there, goes for the ball. Finley, instead of a 12-yard catch, makes it a 24-yard catch. They're up to the 44 already. Blackman is one-on-one with Jordy Nelson, gets burnt to a crisp.
Oh, killed. And Jordy Nelson is not going to drop a ball there. Jordy Nelson, all of a sudden, he's the greatest wide receiver on the planet. And by the way, you mentioned Eli Manning. I do want to throw props at him, because that guy throws balls where only his receivers can get it. It's truly amazing,
Joe,
what this guy has done this year.
I wasn't a big fan when he was drafted his first couple of years. This guy's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Top five. Top five.
I'll debate anybody right now. Anybody.
Top five.
You name me another quarterback.
You can take your Philip Rivers, by the way. You can take him. Eli's better than him
listen,
at this point.
Listen.
With a ring.
There are weeks he hasn't had Akeem Nicks. There are weeks he hasn't had Akeem
Mario
Nicks
Manningham.
And Mario Manningham. Yeah. And Ramsey's Barden. Victor Cruz.
He's making these guys look a lot better than they are.
By the way, I'm glad it didn't really help me in the long run. It won me a couple games in my fantasy league, but I stink. I am no longer – the playoffs have started, and I'm not in the playoffs. But Victor Cruz, one of the best receivers in the National Football League.
Yes, he is.
Why is that? What's one of the reasons he is?
I'll tell you what. Because Eli Manning finds him every time. He finds it and Joe, throws a perfect ball.
Eli is making chicken salad out of you-know-what with that offense. And the offensive line – Beattie's out.
Is Jake Ballard
He's
as good as
he is? He's got a detached retina. He's gone.
I know.
They got that rookie starting again at guard. They called him up. Anthony Greek, somebody who works here, said they called him up, told him he was starting. He almost choked on his bagel because he didn't even know he was starting.
I'm just saying, is Jake Ballard as good as he is? This guy has been tremendous this year. He's been tremendous.
Joe.
And you mentioned this, Chris. You said you could turn off the game. I'm going back to this. You could turn off the game if the front four doesn't get... Look, the Giants have a shot here. If they beat Dallas twice and they beat Washington, they don't even need to win that Jet game, by the way. If they take care of their own division...
Joe, I know they have
a chance. They can go 9-7 and win the division.
And I said they have a good chance.
I'll put it to you this way,
though. But you have to be realistic.
I'll put it to you this way. They lose and call up Bill Cowher because Tom Coughlin will not be... The coach of this team.
I don't want to see Bill Cowher here.
That's what's going to happen. Bill Cowher will be the coach of this team next year. You know it.
So you're getting rid of a 65-year-old for a 62-year-old or whatever his situation.
I'm just saying. I like it or not, Bill Cowher. If they do not make the playoffs, Bill Cowher will be the coach of this team next year. Just saying.
See, and I would hate that because I've been all over Coughlin in the past, but I don't think it's Coughlin. After that Patriots game that made them 6-2, by the way. They picked him up.
He's only 54, by the way.
Who?
Cowher. He's only 54.
Whatever. I just think his time is done. Give it to a young coordinator who has his stuff together and who hasn't been on TV the past 3 years. I don't know. I was a Cowher guy, but I just think the players like Coughlin. They like playing for him.
They play hard for him.
Get rid. And they were thinking about making Perry Fuel the head coach.
And by the way, that was our esteemed colleague that brought that up. I'm not going to name names, but our esteemed colleague brought that one up.
Please, well, tell me off the air who it was then.
But I will say this. If
why not call Spags up?
He could.
If you're going to get rid of Coughlin, hey, we made a mistake. We want you to come back. Head coach.
Yeah, I mean, that's a possibility. But again... We're looking far ahead into the future here. They got to take this one game at a time now. One game at a time, and this could be happening.
I'm telling you, the New York Giants this year, and you know, it makes you lose your mind because you've been a Giant fan, and you know they've always had defense. Always. It was always like, oh, God, if we just had an offense. And now it's the opposite.
Now they have offense.
If you take that defense from... the 90s or the mid-80s, and put them with this offense?
Shoot, you take the defense from 2007, the year they won the Super Bowl, and put it with this offense.
That's too. It drives you crazy.
Yeah, like I said, you put that defense with this offense, a couple years ago.
It's unbelievable that the Giants have lost four in a row. And they could still have a shot at this division. But I'm telling you right now, if they lose in Dallas on Sunday, good night.
Good night, moon.
Back up the bus, and it's over. Write it down anywhere you want to write it down. And Joe...
But at least they're playing in Dallas,
if I had to
by
make,
the way. Just throwing that out there.
They're better on the road. Yeah, they're better on the road. If you could... If I could make a baseball... analogy to this. Mike Messina, when he pitched, if he didn't get the corners, hit the power button because the game, Moose
was
out.
Yeah.
It was over. If Fuel refuses to pressure Romo, it's going to be a long game. And I go back to Rodgers. Rodgers, people argue he's the best quarterback. Tom Brady said he's the best quarterback in the league. Okay? Even the best quarterback in the league had happy feet. And rushed passes and threw incompletions when he heard
footsteps.
Yeah.
You got to get pressure on Romo. That's the only way the Giants win this game. I'm not worried about the offense at all. DeMarcus Ware has a stinger. He might not even play. Not worried about the offense. But that defense, that New York Giant defense, is not what it used to be. It's just not. Aaron Ross stinks.
Yes.
Stinks.
Yes, he does.
He can't cover anybody.
Unlike C.C. Brown, who just couldn't cover.
Yeah.
Big C.C. Can't cover Brown.
Jaquan Williams, I get it. He's young. He's a rookie. And he's being put into a position where it's a huge learning experience for him. But hey, when you're learning on the fly in New York,
Prince Amukamara,
you're going to get criticism.
He's young. He's a rookie. I mean, there's a lot of... This team is young. It's young.
Yeah.
It's young. By the way, you brought up Aaron Rodgers. I just want to throw out these eye-popping numbers.
Yeah, go ahead. Was it like 35 71% touchdowns and 6 interceptions?
71% completion percentage. 3,850 yards passing.
Mm-hmm.
37 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah. Just throwing that up.
He had 4 more.
Unbelievable.
All right. I've vented all my venom from this past week, and I'm sure... You're
spitting nails right now. I love it, Chris.
Well, you know, I'll be all over the Giant game. I'm really enthused about it being a Sunday night game on NBC because I love my commercials. I cannot begin.
At least they can flex. Thanks a lot for the Jacksonville Chargers game on Monday night, yeah. ESPN.
Oof. Boy, is that a dog.
Yeah, good marketing.
And the Seahawks and Rams this coming week.
Woo!
And I'll tell you, you're a football fan. If you watched the Chargers and Jaguars on Monday night and sat there and watched it through the commercials that they play on ESPN, because I'm telling you right now.
I count me as a football fan. I did it.
I'm not letting.
I did it.
I didn't. I didn't watch 1 second of that game.
I did.
And Fox, with the Giant game, on Sunday against the Packers. Joe, that was almost 4.5 hours, that game.
I know. It's crazy. I know.
I mean, enough. I don't need kickoff.
Commercial.
And then there's 30 seconds left in the half. So when that runs out, commercial. And then we're going to punt and go to another commercial.
No, my favorite is punt. 2:02 left in the half, commercial. One play, 2-minute warning, commercial.
You know what?
Timeout. Commercial.
You know what my favorite quarter is in the NFL? Overtime, because they don't sell overtime, and they don't go to break.
It's true.
At all.
It's a fair point.
But, you know, it's impossible to get into a football game with all these commercials. Impossible. And the night games, maybe I sound like an old fogey. I don't want to be up till 12:30 watching a football game.
Somebody get Chris's cane.
I'm sorry. I don't. I don't want to be going to bed at 1 o'clock.
I'm an insomniac, so I love it, baby. After 4 in the morning, that's where I live.
It's awful.
That's where I live, baby. More sports, the better. Late night.
Welcome back to the NBA, by the way.
Yeah, we'll talk about that next week.
Well, free agency starts tomorrow, so. And congratulations to Pete Mangurian, who was hired as the head football coach at Columbia, taking over for Norris Wilson. There's a press conference tomorrow to introduce Mangurian. He spent some time with the Giants under Dan Reeves.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah.
So congrats to him. Hopefully he can get things turned around.
Chris, this has been fun, my friend.
Yeah.
The last couple weeks we've missed each other.
Hey, listen.
I had the Seth Everett. You had the Brian Cashman. So for the holiday season, we're back together.
Together again. You going to break into that from the Muppets?
I am.
Anyway, before we start going off on Muppet tangents.
Awesome movie, by the way.
Yeah, I took my daughter. Opening night was great. The hit of the night was Menomina at the end.
Bum, bum, ba-da-da.
Menomina. All right. Once again.
For Chris Sheeran, I'm Joe Auriemma, Kermit the Frog here.
We want to thank Mark Polishuk from MLBTradeRumors.com and Kermit the Frog for jumping on here at the very end. Yeah, I guess that's it.
All right, well, we'll see you next time. Waka waka.
Oh, boy. See you later, everybody.
The Off the Wall podcast comes to you each week on iTunes and YesNetwork.com. If you like what you're listening to, simply subscribe to the show on iTunes. And if you have an extra minute, leave a comment and rating.